and pacings, etc. So thank you.
And what a good point, Charlotte, about the importance of encouragement and never discouraging, never doing harm in any role we're in, just never doing harm. I'm Cynthia Sharp, and I'm going to read my poem about now for National Poetry Month. And I love how Charlotte's theme now is so appropriate for National Poetry Month. And yeah, so now, this is co-written with my friend Dennis L. White, and it's a quatern, it's our second quatern. We did one last month as well. So you can probably guess by the title, by the name quatern, that there four is very important. There are four stanzas, and each stanza has four lines, and each one has a line that moves to a different place in each stanza. They have eight syllables per line, and they rhyme. So this is a fun poem about now. Amid the hope of April dreams. Amid the hope of April dreams, as cherries bloom in balmy wind, bright stars behold pink-petaled streams, and all this warmth I can't rescind. Aroma wafts on gentle breeze, amid the hope of April dreams. The flowery scent the nostrils tease, while bees buzz by with nectar schemes. A whirlwind dances airy themes. Each blade awakes with morning dew. Amid the hope of April dreams, sweet sunlight paints my life anew. While nature shares her vivid worth in verdant hues and pastel creams, we witness beauty, spring's rebirth, amid the hope of April dreams. So thank you, everyone. That's our latest quatern.
Oh, I love that quatern. It was so contrasty in images. And then picturing the sunlight coming in through the room, it just, there's a part of my brain to say, oh, you could do all that and keep with the rules. Because sometimes the rules of a particular style, It doesn't work for me. But listening to it, it was so admirable, picturing the purple and the hues of an April morning. It's like, oh, I want part of that. I like that. Yeah, so
and
thank
I
you.
I found it really interesting. I used to be someone who had rebelled against rules, and most of my writing is freestyle. My friend Dennis is really into making sure that we learn every structure that we want to learn. And it reminded me of how Jane Monroe, when I interviewed her, she's an award-winning poet, and she said, structure gives creativity something to push against. And I thought that's really interesting, because I'm finding I'm getting really great work, or work I enjoy creating, with structure. And Robert Frost also talked about structure, because he wrote in iambic pentameter, 10 syllables per line, and he said structure gave him a chance to use words he wouldn't ordinarily use. I'm paraphrasing him, but I thought, yeah, structure is a really fun thing for people who think they can only do free verse or just want to be super free. It actually gets things contained and finished. So it was really, I'm really enjoying being challenged to try structure.
And then you teach, Ramona, you'd be have in common that you have had a history of teaching. Cynthia, also tell us about something special you have coming up at the library, that there might be readers who want to, listeners who want to hear our readers.
So my next event is in Salt Spring Island on May 1st. And I would love, if anyone's in the Gulf Islands, if you're planning to take a trip there and you happen to be there on May 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Salt Spring Public Library, I'll be the featured author. It's free. And there'll also be an open mic, first come, first serve. It's just a wonderful library. It's all very environmental. I love libraries. And also just want to give a huge shout out to everyone in Burnaby who came out to my workshop at the Burnaby Public Library for StrideFest. We partnered, the Burnaby Public Writers Society partnered with the Burnaby Public Library, and we had a wonderful sensory writing workshop. So immense gratitude to everyone in Burnaby who came out for that. It made me love Burnaby, made me love the Burnaby Public Library. Our libraries in Canada are just so giving, and we have such talented library staff. And so many wonderful events happen there. I just really recommend for writers and readers that they go and check out events at libraries. Yeah, and if you're in Salt Spring Island, please come see me. Also, just a quick thank you to everyone who came out to my Powell River Library reading. I did a little workshop in Powell River, and that's another incredible library, just an incredible town, incredible group of readers and writers who came out to hear poetry. I think we're so lucky and blessed and lucky in Canada to have such amazing library staff and libraries that are a free space for us to gather and discuss ideas. And I think that's a really important gift that we have here, right? And gift to gather freely in public.
And speaking of feedback from our audience, sometimes people will send me an email, but they said, I didn't know all those things were happening in the library. And in fact, there have been these people that have said, oh, nobody goes to the library anymore. Well, ha, ha, ha. Cynthia.
We were sold out. It was free, but I mean, we it was sad to have to turn people away from events. So hopefully we'll have more, but they fill up. Yeah, I think the library is very important. And free events are very important.
I agree with you, Cynthia. The libraries here in Canada, they have been the highlight of my coming to Canada. And that's what I always speak about to everyone whenever I talk to my friends in India, because that was something we didn't grow up with. I mean, we did have libraries, but they were very few and far away, and here I find there's one in every location, and like you mentioned, the librarians are so kind, and I notice that parents bring, you know, little children to the library, so they're getting them interested, and many libraries I think have a separate floor for children, and then, you know, the books are at the height that they can reach. And so I would never be able to live without the Libby app, which is on my library. Most of my day is spent with, you know, reading, and my children don't know what I'm doing. So they say, you're just like a teenager. You're always on the phone. I'm not on the phone. I'm reading on the Libby app. So thank you, Canada, for your libraries. Amazing.
And thank you, Ramona and Cynthia, for being excited advocates of the library, because, you know, sometimes I'm up at the Simon Fraser campus, and sometimes I'm downstairs here at Megaphone, 312 Main, the downtown studio of CGSF. And I'll ask people about the library, and they say, oh, nobody goes to the library anymore. I said, oh, I choose to challenge that. Okay, we have time to have another round.
I just want to say, Cynthia, thank you for another gentle poem. Thank you. I love the April mornings.
Yes.
And the colors. Thank you.
I feel like velvety, like I'm going out the door, that there'll be pink and some type of velvety textured plant that I'll pass walking down the street.
I know we're going to start another round, but I wondered if Charlotte had time to let us know a little bit about the background of I Challenge and how you made it such a positive rhythm when it's such a serious message.
I was actually writing something for Women's Month, but I had been at a meeting where people were talking about the impossibilities of intergenerational or the impossibilities of this or that. And if you scream out loud in a place, they have people who pick you up. So I went home and I started really scribbling just out different things that I challenged, that people are saying, you know, like nobody. I had to find a CD with the poem on it, because there was a point when I was doing CDs, lots of poems, and you bought your case of CDs and you sold them. But I just challenge the mean speech of people who want to put down other people or blame other people. And there's kind of one of the lines of people driving. I took a picture of a light where the whole row, of course, just had one person. And so challenging the notion that, you know, it isn't a good idea to share, or it's too hard to ride share, instead of using all that high-priced gas and or putting, you know, the elements of driving out into the atmosphere. So just different things that I've heard and that were things I couldn't scream out loud. That's not so. I just thought I'll gently put it into these lines. And then I hum. I don't sing. And learning that Jesse was a musician, I said, this is a poem that I've written. And, you know, do you think you could make it pop, or, you know, make it? And so that whole rhythm was an opportunity of working together. Again, collaboration. I believe in collaboration. And, you know, collaboration of someone like Neil, who takes big cars out on the freeway driving 65 miles an hour and 85 mile an hour zone. But just, I really appreciate the way that Jesse was able to get the tone and feel and sounds without distracting it from the message. And now that I've put those things forward, some people have asked about, you know, playing at events, having it as something that would be a writing experience. The whole thing of writing experience, of how it goes from writing it to then the next step, taking it out of the closet, taking it out of the stack, going and actually, you know, finding a musician, somebody that will work with you. I had a musician tell me once, because I've been doing kind of word beat poems for 10 years, but at the point that I was at a jazz afternoon, and I liked what the group was playing, and so I asked the band leader, how could I get somebody here to work with me? I have some poems I'd like to, you know, change into music. I can't sing, but I'd like to, you know, do a pattern with it. And he says, okay, watch while you're up there, and watch who's watching you. And he said, you know, there's some people that rap at the table, or some people, even when they're playing a bass viol or whatever, when you are doing your poems, watch who tries to flow along with you. So I did find someone in that way. And I think that getting rid of just fixed notions we have, oh, they wouldn't like that, or nobody likes that, or that's not what happened, what's happening now. Since I moved from just having the recording and for a month or months saying to Jesse, I think I want to release it. Just going ahead and doing it. And so I really want to thank the people within this group for the riff, the importance of getting respectful, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback really helped me with moving from just having it and having a recording and saying, what do you think, to putting it out there where many people have been able to not just say what they think, but say that, you know, it's inspired them to take the messages, take the things that they'd like to share with people and get them out and get them be heard.
Thank you.
That was terrible grammar.
Incredible answer. I just want to say too, like, what I love about your work, and I think you're almost unique, or in a small group of people who do something tremendously important, is that your work creates a safe space for people to learn and grow, so that people can show up and become more aware of something without feeling ashamed of what they didn't know before. And I think that's how we make social change, is by creating a safe space for people to learn in, where everybody's welcome, and you do that. And that's amazing. And you do that here, too, by giving us a chance to read. So we'll go to Ramona for a second poem.
I want to mention, Cynthia, that I love your soothing voice and gentle rhythm in the poem that you read. And I just have a very, very short one now. So here it goes. In the stillness, a breath unfolds, carrying the weight of the present moment. Each heartbeat, a reminder, here, now, is all there is. Thank you.
Wow. Can you read that first line again?
Okay. in the stillness, a breath unfolds.
Well, I just pictured that. I'm picturing that. The breath unfolding and giving birth. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, I love the yoga feel to that.
Yes. Yeah, that reminds us of the importance of breath. So now,
any more thoughts for Ramona? We're also going to move over to Neil and hear another piece from you if you have one.
I am told that the breath is what gives us life. And thank you for giving me breath. Thank you, Ramona.
Thank you, Neil.
I've been reading every night. I read either and quite often both a poem from my book, and also I have my second book, The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, which is just short stories, and the paperwork in the front of it is to remind me that I wrote two books, and I'm the author of both, without any computer support, without any AI support. But what's the next poem that I will read today? And the difficulty is I have 60 poems. And as I read through the poems, I discover I am a poet. I find that incredible, really. But one of the poems I decided to share today, it just came to me that I think maybe this is, considering the time that things are changing right now, and the universe is making the bullies come out of the woodwork, if you want to talk about the politicians. And anyway, this, I actually had some seeds from the Bodhi tree, and they now reside with my life partner, and she's got them. So, but I wrote a poem called The Seeds. The seeds of the Bodhi tree carry the vibrations from centuries and centuries past, through times of joy, through times of sorrow. The seeds have collected the vibration of the time. Through times of harvest and plenty, through times of hunger and grief, the seeds have witnessed and watched as civilizations came and went, paying attention to the vibration evoked, shifting from yin to yang and from yin back again. The seeds of the Bodhi tree listen to the vibration of Krishna instructing Arjuna in his karmic duty. The seeds attended the vibration of the Buddha receiving his enlightenment. The seeds listened as Jesus offered his wisdom to those gathered on the mount. The seeds heard the vibration of Alexander, of Nero, of Constantine, and of the Khan Temujin. The seeds collected the vibrations of Hitler, of Mao, of Gandhi, of leaders, of followers, and all who came and went, both the powerful and the powerless. The wisdoms of the seed of the Bodhi tree is knowing everything in the universe is a vibration. in process and sooner or later will change. The events of today are not the events of tomorrow. The struggles of today will pass and become the lies of tomorrow, depending on the author and of the events of the past. The inside of the seeds of the Bodhi tree is telling of the groundlessness of permanence, and as they wait in silence for the next chapter in the telling of the story of life. Thank you.
I love the juxtaposition of the groundlessness of permanence, mm-hmm. and your truth about what seeds hold, all the history they hold, all of it, everything they witnessed. So beautifully shared.
The way that you bring out the different things that the seeds see or observe, if a person didn't know those people in history, they didn't know Jesus, they didn't know Nero, they didn't know, it would make tend to make a person curious. You know, why were the seeds listening? Or who were these people? Why did that guy write those names? Or, you know, it was really beautiful imagery, because when I'm listening to your poems, it's like I'm sitting over, I don't know, right today I'm seeing a cave with a fire outside where behind there's nothing scary back there, it's just a structure, there's a formation, and floating past are these words or these scenes that help you to like not only the cadence but wonder about the people that he speaks to. It's a sneaky way of getting people to read history, Neil. But I love your work. Thank you.
I love the idea that you took the seeds of the Bodhi tree, because that is where Shakyamuni Buddha is supposed to attain enlightenment. And then, of course, you went on to say that the seeds are a witness as civilizations come and go. And I love Charlotte's idea also. That's very true. If young people read this poem today and they don't know who these people are, I guess that would make them curious to read about them. And the line I liked is, everything is a vibration, because that is like extremely true and philosophical, and somehow you managed to put it in. The seeds are now silent while they wait for the next evolution. Thank you so much, Neil. There's so much to say about your poem.
Tell us again the name of the poem.
The seeds of the Bodhi tree.
Bodhi tree.
And you can find it at your public library.
Yes. I'm in the Nanaimo public library, and you know, I really believe the words in the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and I made reference to the teachings of Krishna to Arjuna, because that's very important in my life. But all of them, the words of Jesus on the Mount, all of the wisdom, it's not from one teacher, it's from every teacher. It's all about love. And the lack of love and the contribution of love. So I chose that one out of 60 poems in my book, From the Other Side. I chose that one as being one of the most important of my writings, and I'm happy to share it with you all. I really am privileged to share it with you all.
Thanks so much, Neil. On that theme of all about love, and on Charlotte's theme of the now, I have a short poem just celebrating these moments we have here in Vancouver, Burnaby Springs.
That's wonderful.
For all our dreams. The white misted sky opens to a cerulean canvas. Bluebells in the wind, honeybees and lavender. The strength of spring unfolds, shedding fears with retreating winter. Like butterflies returned, spirits embrace now, and we stay present to answer our calling. So I'm Cynthia Sharp, and with your gift of now, spring poem. You can also find my books in public libraries through Canada, and if you're in the Gulf Islands, come see me on May 1st in Salt Spring Island.
Okay, thank you for that. I have a short poem that I'm going to put into our ending, and it's from my book. Sister C wrote a book, and the book is called From Pillows to Pillars. Learn to put your problems into poems and celebrate life's little joys. And it was a book written, now it's available online as an ebook. And the publisher was Arthur House. But this book, poetry took me from anger, grief, heartache, then the resurgence of faith, love, and hope. At one point, I had anger 26, hope 2. So, it's a family love affair. It is an eternal wellspring, even when everything is not perfect. The love that can be unearthed, tapped, drawn to the surface, savored. When you reflect on family love, family is blood and non-blood connected relationships that nurture and nudge, pinch and sometimes pull, but ultimately create heaven on earth for the soul. Sister C. And so it brings us to the end of yet another poetry pop-up. I'm in treasure each one of your contributions and the ways that you are obviously inspiring others, because there are some people who listen to the radio, those people who say people don't listen to the radio, who've mentioned that they enjoy hearing the poetry. A couple of people in this building, Megaphone, I get here early sometimes and I ask people, what are you reading? And there's a street paper called Megaphone, and it's a program that helps people not only sell the paper, but gives them an opportunity to publish. So I just will say thank you today for the ways that you've inspired me. Thank you for the ways that you'll be inspiring the people who hear this program on Friday. And thank you for those who, there's still half of the month left, International Poetry Month. Sit, like Neil said, he reads one of his poems every night. Sit and look at something that you might have scratched on. Write it up, type it up, and you can come down to our station and bring it up. What's the ways, again, if somebody has music or something that they want to have read, to have an opportunity to be listened to on the radio?
You can either come by the radio station at room 1420 of the Student Union Building at SFU, the Burnaby campus, or you can get in touch for music with our music director, Connor. That's CJSF_music@SFU.ca.
And when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem some time. Time's for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time's for...